By inspected Allah's and brothers in Christ, with Allah's grace and mercy, we have completed Surah Az-Zumar and a major portion of Surah Ghafir, which is also known as Surah Mukmin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins Surah Az-Zumar, which means hordes. Zumar means large groups, large hordes of people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins the Surah with Tanzeelul. This Qur'an, describing this Qur'an, تَنْزِيلُ الْكِتَابِ مِنَ اللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَكِيمِ. This Qur'an is a revelation. That's how we use the translation, that this is a revelation. But تَنْزِيل is not just any kind of a revelation. تَنْزِيل is that revelation which comes from the word نَزَّلَ. We find two words Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about in the Qur'an when he talks to us with regard to the revelation of the Qur'an. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the verb anzala, and sometimes Allah ta'ala uses the verb nazzala. Anzala means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this Qur'an in its entirety. This entire Qur'an was revealed, and this entire Qur'an was revealed all at once from the Lawhul Mahfuz, from the preserved tablet, to the Baytul Ma'mur, which is the Kaaba of the heavens, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed all at once, the entire Qur'an. Thereafter, from the Baytul Ma'mur, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Qur'an upon the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over the duration of 23 years. And that nazzala, that depicts this particular meaning, that Allah ta'ala revealed the Qur'an as anzala, once in its entire form. And nazala means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Qur'an slowly, from time to time, as the need arose. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed a verse upon verse, and therefore the Qur'an here is described as تَنْزِيلُ الْكِتَابِ مِنَ اللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَكِيمِ. Also the sifat that I use here, the characteristics that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses here, تَنْزِيلُ الْكِتَابِ, this Qur'an has been revealed slowly, as we would say, slowly, gradually, as per need. And from where has it been revealed? From the All-Powerful, Al-Aziz, Al-Hakim. He is All-Powerful of revealing it all at once too, but He revealed it slowly. Why? Because He is Al-Hakim. Because He is absolutely full of wisdom. And according to His wisdom, He revealed it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, jumlatan wahida. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, with regard to a group of people who said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why was this Qur'an not revealed all at once? Allah ta'ala gives that answer. لِنُثَبِّتَ بِهِ فُعَادَكَ. So that this Qur'an is not just to be revealed all at once, and you know, it will just disperse. But rather this Qur'an is there so that it will be revealed slowly and slowly, so that it could be affirmed in your heart, and in the heart of believers also. As it was revealed slowly, so much so that, my respected elders and brothers, the Sahaba were being made as the Qur'an was revealed. The Sahaba were being made. They were, their entire mentality, their outlook in life, etc. was being changed. And their hearts were being affirmed as the Qur'an was revealed. So much so that a time came that they would say something and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would reveal a verse. They would say something and Allah would reveal a verse. I was mentioning the other day that Hazrat Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu was in his house, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent an attendant that went to call Umar radiallahu anhu. So the attendant went to call Umar radiallahu anhu, and he just barged into the house and he found that Umar radiallahu anhu was lying down. It was in the afternoon. Umar radiallahu anhu was actually asleep and he had covered himself. But because of this person coming into the room very suddenly, Umar and he came to say, he said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is calling you. So Umar radiallahu anhu woke up in a shock. And waking up in a shock, some part of his satr became exposed. Some part of his body which needs to be covered, that became exposed. And he was extremely upset over this here. So he quickly got dressed and he started walking to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And on the way he's walking with this attendant of his. He did not shout at him, did not reprimand him, because of course this was an instruction from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to call. But he just mentioned to the slave of his, how I wish Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have revealed some laws which are in relation to the etiquette of knocking and the etiquette of seeking permission before entering. Okay? So he walks with the slave, he comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and as he comes and he enters and he sees Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sees that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in a state upon which wahi is coming upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when that state was over, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "O Umar, Allah has revealed verses as per your need." Allah has revealed verses, and these verses are in Surah An-Nur, يا أيها الذين آمنوا ليستأذنكم الذين ملكت أيمانكم, that even those who are your children, those children who are, you have, and those children who have reached the age of puberty, as well as your attendants who are very close to you, and sometimes we don't really, you know, we're not really very careful about those people who are close to us. For example, our attendants, we don't really care how we dress in front of them. So because these people are household members, so when these household members also come to your home, then at three times at the least, though there are people who come in and out of the house, but at three times they should at least knock. They should knock three times during the day, or during the day and during the night. So this was to say, actually these Sahaba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran, but revealed it slowly and gradually, so much so that they were being made, they were sort of being designed, they were being, you know, prepared. And they were being prepared to such an extent that when a time came, they sort of wished it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their wish was in sync with the wish of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not the other way. It's not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed it, confirming them. But rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to reveal it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to reveal it. Prior to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had tuned their heart so much that they were in sync with the wish of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is why the Quran was revealed slowly, Tanzeelul Kitabi min Allahil Azizil Hakim. Then in this very same surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَمَنْ شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ فَهُوَ عَلَى نُورٍ مِّنْ رَبِّهِ. That person who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened his heart and his bosom for Islam, so that Islam has penetrated in his bosom. فَهُوَ عَلَى نُورٍ مِّنْ رَبِّهِ. Such a person, he will go in this world, or he will live in this world in such a way that he will be enlightened by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will grant him a light. In other words, from every moment, when there will be a moment when he will be faced with two situations, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide him towards the correct path. This Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when a person has firm iman, and that iman is worked upon, and that iman basically entrenches the heart. And here Allah ta'ala says, the person whose heart has been opened for Islam, which means iman has already entered, but now Islam has also adopted that heart, so much so that the person's outer and inner is depictive of Islam, then such a person, Allah blesses him with a nur. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this nur is the firasa of a mu'min. It is the firasa of a mu'min. It's not just any person who says he's a believer, who says that I've got some firasa. That's not real firasa. Firasa is something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places in the heart of a person whose iman is firm. A person whose iman is firm. And that firasa is something which, my respected brothers, we can loosely translate it as an insight. Allah Ta'ala gives a person an insight or an extra sense. An extra sense. We see some people have a sixth sense. Not really a sixth sense, this is more a sense which will make a person, drive a person towards doing that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants a person to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide that person. Thereafter Allah Ta'ala talks of who these people are, who Allah opens their heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they are those people who Allah nazzala ahsan al-hadithi kitaban mutashabihan matani. They are those people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed this Quran slowly upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is the best of speeches, the best of statements. It is the best of statements, and it is that which is mutashabihan matani. It is often repeated, and much of its content has been mentioned, it is mentioned variously. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the story of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam again and again. And mutashabihan means that they are similar. These stories, or for that matter, the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which Allah reveals variously, they are similar to one another. Although there is sometimes a slight difference in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to draw our attention in one story towards one particular idea, and in another story towards another, towards another perspective. So Allah Ta'ala says, when this Quran is revealed, then these people whose hearts are filled with iman, تَقْشَعِرُّ مِنْهُ جُدُودُ الَّذِينَ يَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ. They are such people who, their hearts are so affected that effect actually shows on their bodies. That when the Quran is revealed and the Quran is read to them, then my respected brothers and sisters, their skins, they actually, we get goosebumps, تَقْشَعِرُّ is that. Their skin, or their hair stands at its end, as we say. Their hair stands at its end. They get goosebumps when listening to the verses of the Quran. ثُمَّ تَلِينُ جُلُودُهُمْ. That means, there are such people who the Quran doesn't just pass them. Instead, when the Quran is read, they are moved by the Quran. They are moved by the symphony which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed this Quran in. And when that happens to them, ثُمَّ تَدِينُ جُلُودُهُمْ وَقُلُوبُهُمْ إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. So for a moment they are left, for a moment momentarily they are astounded. They are astounded and they are for a moment overcome with fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, overcome with that awe, let's say the awe of the Quran. ثُمَّ تَدِينُ جُلُودُهُمْ وَقُلُوبُهُمْ إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. But after that, their skin and their hearts become softened and they are drawn towards the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here, the Mufassirin write various things. One, the Mufassirin write is that just earlier in this verse, just prior to this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْقَاسِيَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ مِنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Curse be upon those whose hearts are hardened despite them listening to the remembrance of Allah. Curse be upon those, woe unto those whose hearts are hardened despite them listening to the dhikr of Allah. Or despite the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their hearts are hardened. This is one tafsir. One Qurtubi mentions another tafsir is that actually their hearts are hardened because they are not really in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my respected ladies and brothers, he mentions a narration of Muttalib ibn Abdullah, who says that one of the two, he said, the worst punishment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can ever reveal upon a person on their worldly life is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hardens his heart. And this heart does not get penetrated. This heart does not get penetrated by any good. So much so that the person will be doing the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be making dua to Allah, be doing the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reciting Quran too, but this heart will be unaffected. This heart will become hard. And on the other side, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about those whose hearts are softened with the remembrance of Allah. So this is one aspect. The other aspect is, Allah says that those people initially when listening, the believers, when listening to the verses of the Quran, their hair stands on its end, and for a moment, momentarily, they are taken aback. But then thereafter, their hearts become softened, and they are inclined towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for this year, there is a narration which I'd like to mention to you, and this is a narration by Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi alayhi. Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi alayhi once passed by a group of people. And those people were remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was taken, this person became ecstatic. You know, they came into a kind of a state. Into a state where the person did not know at all. Like we said, the first moment, just listening to the name of Allah, it has such an impact. But this person continued in this state. He continued in this kind of bewildered state. And he continued in that way, and people said, Subhanallah, oh, look at him. Look at him. This person is moved by the name of Allah, subhanAllah. And we see many of these clips on YouTube also, where a person goes completely, you know, he's completely taken aback, he's down on the floor, he's knocking his head, etc. Alright? Now my respected brothers and sisters, Umar bin Abdul Aziz, this is in Qurtubi, Tafsir Qurtubi. Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatullah, looked at this, and he looked at the comment that people are saying, oh, this is a pious person. He said, this is not a pious person. In fact, I'd like to say to this person that go to the roof of your house. This is the statement of Umar bin Abdul Aziz. I'd like to say to him that go to the roof of your house and I'll take the name of Allah and hopefully you go into that state and let's see if you'll fall off the roof. Let's see if you will fall off the roof in that state. So then after that he says, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that a believer is such who gets affected by the word of Allah, gets really affected by the word of Allah, and sometimes it leaves him momentarily, it leaves that person in a state of bewilderment, that's called it, for that moment. But thereafter, what does Allah ta'ala say? ثُمَّ تَلِينُ جُلُودُهُمْ وَقُلُوبُهُمْ إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. ذَٰلِكَ هُدَى اللَّهِ يَهْدِي بِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Thereafter, their hearts are softened, and then they are guided, they are back in their normal state, and then they say, this is the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, they don't remain in that state. That is not really a sign of a person's piety, or that's not a sign that a person, this person has reached a particular state, etc. Yes, sometimes it does happen to some individuals, maybe they go, you know, beyond their control. But my respect to that is not an aspiration. The aspiration for a believer is, we listen to a verse, we are affected by that verse. Yes, maybe sometimes we go into a state, but that state is momentary, and then it moves us. And it moves us to such an extent that our eyes begin to flow with tears. Because if this eye flows with tears out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or out of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "O Muhammad, we are angels and some of us, we have been given the task of collecting the good deeds of a human being. We are such that we can count all the grains of sand on this earth. We can count all the leaves of trees. But we cannot count the reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to a person who sheds one tear out of the fear of Allah." Just one tear out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So much so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that that tear is my exclusive. It is for me. That tear, I will reward that tear. And in a hadith it's mentioned that a person who will cry in this world, who will shed a tear in this world, out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that one tear is sufficient to extinguish the entire fire of Jahannam. But on the other hand, in the hereafter, a person might cry and cry and go on crying. And to the extent that they might cry tears of blood too, it will not even extinguish a single spark of Jahannam. So if we need to learn to cry, then my respected brothers and sisters, it is now. Whilst Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us life. And to cry, you say, real men don't cry, who says so? Real men do cry. Because who are the real men? The men who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said they are rijalun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again and again, Allah talks about the sahaba, and Allah terms them as men, rijalun. They were men, men of distinction, men of resolve, men of strong resolution. And these were people whom I respected, Alis and brothers, they cried so much that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anh had two permanent marks coming down his cheeks out of excessive crying. Two permanent marks. His face was marked because of the flowing of tears. So to cry, real men do cry. And real men do cry out of the awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is one state that we go through, we cry first out of regret over our wrong. And then we go to the extent where we begin to cry out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we get to the extent where we begin to cry, ishtiyaqan ila rabbina, out of shawq for our Rabb. Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu anhu, he once read two rakats of salah, and after reading the two rakats of salah, he made a dua and he was on his way. So the people grabbed him, they said, "Ammar, we never saw you, the sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, such a quick salah, so quick dua, and you're just on your way." He said, "I read two rakats of salah as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught me. And I also, thereafter, made a dua which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught me." And it's a lengthy dua, but I'll just give you one part of this dua. He says, in this dua, he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَأَسْأَلُكَ بَرْدَ الْعَيْشِ بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ. Oh Allah, grant me a cool life after I die. The coolness of my life is not really to be chilling out in this world. The real place of chilling out is after we die. After we die. So بَرْدَ الْعَيْشِ, this actual literal translation, coolness of life, بَعْدَ الْمَوْتِ, after I die. وَلَذَّةَ النَّظْرِ إِلَىٰ وَجْهِهِ. And oh Allah, grant me the enjoyment of you revealing your countenance to me. The enjoyment of observing you, the enjoyment of having the opportunity of seeing you. It is mentioned that the greatest punishment that a disbeliever will get, after even being put in Jahannam, the greatest punishment that he will feel, this is the greatest punishment, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to that person, وَإِنَّهُمْ عَذَبِهِمْ يَوْمَ إِذِرْ لَمَحْجُوبُونَ, that you are in Jahannam, but there's one thing that you will never ever get to see. You will never ever get to see the countenance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That will be such a sore point for the disbeliever. That will be such a sore point for the people who are in Jahannam. So my respected brothers and sisters, وَلَذَّةَ النَّظْرِ إِلَىٰ وَجْهِ. Oh Allah, grant me the enjoyment of beholding you. وَالشَّوْقِ إِلَىٰ لِقَائِكَ. And oh Allah, grant me that shawq and that yearning and that zeal and that deep down yearning. You know, like a pain within my heart that how could I get as soon as possible away from this world and meet my Creator. That actually should be what drives a believer. Then my respected brothers and sisters, in the next surah which we recited, it was Surah Ghafir. The opening verses of the surah, if a person recites Ayatul Kursi, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum, till the end of Ayatul Kursi, and after reading Ayatul Kursi, a person reads the first three verses of Suratul Mu'min, Surah Ghafir, which is in the 34th juz of the Quran. That is Hameem, Tanzeelul Kitabi min Allahil Aziz al Alim, Ghafiri Dhambi, Waqabi Tawbi, Shadid al Iqabi, al Tawl, La ilaha illahu ilayhi masir. If a person recites this here every morning and every evening, what Ayatul Kursi, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the narration is in Muslim Ahmad, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that that person has been protected from shaitan for the entirety. So read Ayatul Kursi and read these three verses, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect this person from shaitan for the entirety. And if a person reads it in the evening, similar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect him from shaitan for the entire night. In the first page that we read of the surah, inshallah, concluded this year, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the angels. Those angels which have been given the job of holding the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, carrying the arsh of Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Bayna shahmatay, between the earlobe and the shoulder of that angel is a journey which is 700 years. That's how large these angels are. That's how mighty these angels are. These are the mighty creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who hold the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on the day of Qiyamah, there will be 8 of them holding the arsh of Allah. They are the mighty, mighty creation of Allah. These hamalatul arsh, they are known as hamalatul arsh. Alladheena yahmiluna al-arsha. These who hold the arsh. Yusabbihuna bihamdi rabbihim. They say the tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his praises. And they say the reason for this year. The reason for yusabbihuna, they say the praise, they glorify Allah. Glorify is just a loose word that we translate tasbih to be. Tasbih means they declare Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's purity. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is absolutely pure. This arsh that we are carrying is not in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah is pure from any place, and Allah is pure from any makan also. This arsh that we are holding is not any kind of placement for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah is not in need of an arsh. Allah is not. That is why they are saying the tasbih. Yusabbihuna bihamdi rabbihim. And they also believe in Allah. وَيُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ. But after that, what does Allah say? Now just think again. Mighty, mighty creations of Allah. Mighty creation. What are they doing? They say the tasbih. They believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they say, وَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Day in and night out, they are asking forgiveness for the believers. Day in and night out, this is the Quran talking. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says that Hani'an laka ya ummat Muhammad, Mubarak be upon you, O ummat of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You committed a sin. You went to sleep at night after committing that sin. While you are asleep, the angels who hold the arsh of Allah, they are asking for forgiveness on your behalf. وَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And look at the dua. رَبَّنَا وَسِعْتَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ رَحْمَةً وَعِلْمًا. Oh Allah, you know everything. Your knowledge extends over everything. And so does your rahmat also. That means you know of the sins of this ummah. You know what they have done. But your rahmat also knows. Your rahmat also comes. Your rahmat is greater than that. وَسِعْتَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ رَحْمَةً وَعِلْمًا فَغْفِرْ لِلَّذِينَ تَابُوا وَاتَّبَعُوا سَبِيلَكَ وَقِهِمْ عَذَابَ الْجَحِيمِ. Oh Allah, so therefore, forgive amongst them those who turn towards you with tawbah. Therefore, if we want to be of those people who daily the angels are making dua for us, then my respect to them, that is, in this little heart of ours, they should be remorse, because remorse is tawbah. They should be remorse. When we have done something wrong, they should be regret. And when we do regret, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has his angels making dua for us. And these angels go on making dua, that فَقِلْ لِلَّذِينَ تَابُوا وَاتَّبَعُوا سَبِيلَكَ وَقِهِمْ عَذَابَ الْجَحِيمِ. Forgive those who have made tawbah, and forgive those who have adopted the correct path. وَقِهِمْ, and protect them from the fire of Jahannam. رَبَّنَا وَأَدْخِلْهُمْ جَنَّاتِ عَدْنٍ الَّتِي وَعَدْتَهُمْ. O Allah, eventually, that Jannah which you have promised them, grant them that Jannah. But look at the dua, continue after that. وَمَنْ سَلَحَ. O Allah, just like how you have granted them that dua also, that Jannah also, O Allah, also grant it to their fathers also, and also to their children. Those angels are making dua for us. If we're making tawbah and we have regret in our heart, remorse in our heart over what we have done, one. And number two, we have made an attempt to come onto the correct path. Those mighty angels who are holding the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is a symbol of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's greatness, they are making dua for us day in and night out. And they are saying, وَمَنْ تَقِ السَّيِّئَاتِ. Oh Allah, not only enter them into Jannah, but oh Allah, also protect them from doing any other sin after this. So my respected brothers and sisters, we are very, very fortunate. Allah has blessed us. Really, we are very fortunate to being from the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As of tomorrow night, the 21st night begins of the month of Ramadan. Each one of these nights are worthy of spending the entire night. We don't even have much of a night. But the entire night spending it in the ibadah of Allah. But if we can't do that for some reason or the other, my respected elders and brothers, spend one little moment. We've done with the Taraweeh. That's also part of the night. And we definitely we will get the reward. We will still get that reward. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says, a person who has spent the darkest part of the night in ibadah, even once in standing out of the fear of Allah, qa'iman wa sajidan, and in sajda for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if a person has done that in the darkness of the night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not let that person go through a difficult hisab on the day of Qiyamah. This is the hadith is in Ma'arif al-Quran. So my respected brothers and sisters, from tomorrow night, the 21st begins, the night of Qadr, could be any of these nights. For a moment, spare some time to recite, to read, perform just two rakats of salah, so that you could be standing also, and you could also be in sajda. And after the two rakats of salah, spend a short while, just a short while. In fact, this whole surah, Ghafir, you know, this dua upon dua upon dua, which Allah Ta'ala talks about. فَدْعُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with complete sincerity of your heart. Those, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ اُدْعُونِي. Look at these words in the same surah. Your Rabb has said, اُدْعُونِي, make dua to me, أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ, I will accept your dua. This is in the surah which we read tonight. So these are the night, just for one short moment, spare a little bit of time, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask Allah for forgiveness. If that two rakats of ours are accepted, and that happens to go inside with the night of Qadr, then it is as if we have performed two rakats for 1,000 months. That's what it is. We have then sort of got Laylatul Qadr, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us the reward, as if we have read two rakats for 1,000 months. What does that translate to? Over 83 years, in other words, it will be written, over 83 years, this servant of mine read two rakats of salah for every night. We only did it on one night. So do it, or we're only doing it for the next nine or ten nights, inshallah. So spare a little bit of time. When we go back home and we're done with all our whatever, you know, chores that we have and whatever else, our activities, just spare a little bit of time. Or when we wake up for sehri, before we partake of our sehri, do wudu, perform two rakats. As quick as possible also those two rakats, not a problem. As long as it's performed correctly. And thereafter, pick our hands up. So we've done a sajda, we stood and we did sajda also. We pick our hands up and sincerely ask Allah for forgiveness. Sincerely, then my respected brothers, the arsh, the malaika holding the arsh, their dua will fall on our behalf. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq of making amal. Wa akhir da'wana.